Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, here we are this week, Jim, together on Thursday morning. It's gray out there, and there's nothing we can do about it, you know?
Our listener question today comes from David. He says, Jim, Bob, I hope you and Bob are doing well. I have a question for Bob. I know you mentioned that in a post-bubble contraction, the senior currency goes up in value. Would this apply even if the senior currency was under pressure by the rest of the world?
Yeah, that's sort of a push-pull thing. Historically, the senior currency goes up relative to other currencies and most commodities in the post-bubble contraction, and the U.S. dollar has been doing that. Despite lately all kinds of horror show stories about the U.S. dollar and things like that, but I'm staying with that. And basically, it looks like the DX is building a base from which it can launch another rally. Maybe after August or something like that. So I see that. That is, the dollar actually is acting well. A little pressure at January, but then it's been stabilizing.
David also asks, do you see any opportunity in hard assets like copper and energy during this post-bubble contraction?
Oh, there's rules there, too. In the final stage of a bubble, copper's real price as deflated by the wholesale price or CPI, copper's real price goes up, and it did, and then it goes down, and it is. And then going, and that is a proxy for most other industrial commodities. And then I just looked a while ago into the exotics, of which last summer they were really excited about. And in the case of lithium, it got up to 600,000 in November. Now it's down to about 212,000. That's more than falling in half. And what it is the usual commodity price action where as it goes up, it prompts discovery or producing more. And as it goes up, it reduces consumption. So, and then now, but then because of such crazy mania, the lithium price is crashing. And that's the way it is. So, and then we looked at uranium. It got up to 60. And it's sort of down to the 50 level, trading sideways for the last few months. But the tout about uranium stocks is that the world is going to change and have and develop much more nuclear-powered electrical generation. And that is going to be the case. It's practical. But what you've got here is that the new modular nuclear plants, they can use old uranium. So the idea that there's going to be an increase in nuclear power is correct. but it may not require a huge expansion in mine capacity, in which case the mining stocks might not do so good. And it's fascinating that the new nuclear plants can use old uranium. So that's good. Now, what else have we got going in the question?
The final question from David. I'm sure you have heard of the FedNow program, which starts this July. Is the USA on its way to capital controls?
I doubt it. I looked up this FedNow, and it seems to be a facility for helping clear money, checks, etc., through the system. So, it could be helpful. But as for the Federal Reserve overall, it's been an inept disaster since it started in 1914, and that includes when it was then headed up by bankers, who you think might have understood markets. But then since the 60s, it's been dominated by economists who don't understand markets. But, the Fed is kind of a hopeless agency, and I think it will come under severe criticism as this post-bubble contraction continues.
Well, friend of the show, Tim Wood, did a study looking at the M2, which is the immediate money supply, and he said that's been shrinking since November. So he said this inflation thing that they're fighting, it's a supply chain problem, not a money oversupply problem, and yet the Fed just continues putting, the brakes on by upping interest rates. In other words, they're not going to be happy until, people are jobless and homeless.
Well, I can't quite agree with that. The Fed was raising the administered rate because the T-bill rate was going up. Money market determined rates were going up, so the Fed had to follow. And then more recently, the T-bill rate has stopped going up. And at some point, the next step for the Fed will be to start lowering rates. So, and this is one of the features of a post-bubble contraction, is that short rates can fall dramatically, even in the 1930s, down essentially zero. The U.S. three-month T-bill rate got down to 0.08%, and the discount rate by the Fed got very low as well, and now they don't talk about discount rate. They talk about something called Fed funds rate. So they'll be going back down to 0.25% or something like that. But then some people out there may think, oh, interest rates down, that'll reignite the housing market, it'll reignite commodities, it'll reignite stocks. Short-dated market rates of interest, such as the T-bill, go up in the boom and down in the bust. And the more the bust, the faster they decline. So it's best to get kind of cause and effect in that sorted out. But I can remember 2007 in September, interest rates had been high. That was that boom. And one of the leading Wall Street spokesmen said, this was September, said that the Fed would soon cut interest rates and the boom would continue. It didn't have a clue that short rates go down in a bust. The theory was in his head, and nobody's ever looked at empirical. All you have to do is look at a chart back to, these days you can get interest rate charts going way back. So the Fed will continue to be an item of ridicule as far as I'm concerned, whereas the street too often worships the Fed. So
the IMF today, Bob, said it expects slow global growth for the next 5 years. Is that an accurate prediction, you think?
No. It's going to be a severe contraction.
So not just slow growth, but negative.
Negative. I don't know.
We'll have more. Yeah, we'll have more with Bob Hoy as we take a look at some headlines right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Bob, some of the headlines that caught your eye today. First headline, global food supply risks rise as key traders leave Russia.
Yeah, this was a cargo, a couple of really big boys pulling out of Russia. I think something sanctions had to do with that. But in that, I'm not so much reminded, but realized that Russia is the biggest exporter of wheat on the planet. And Ukraine is way down there. So Canada is a good exporter, U.S. is, but hey, Russia is way beyond. It was huge. So that each harvest comes along. It gets harvested. They've only got so many bins to put it in. So then it has to be sold into the world market. So the story about two major global traders pulling out of Russia, hey, they're elsewhere. So the harvest will get into the market. There's nothing anybody can do about it. And food prices are probably going to continue to weaken. So,
headline from the Wall Street Journal, monetary mischief here and abroad.
Yeah, I like that. That was a well-crafted line. And the mischief, I think, could imply to anything from policymakers to great movers and shakers in the market. But gosh, it was a nice headline.
Headline, Blackstone hit by $4.5 billion in withdrawal requests despite property pitch.
Yeah, they've been getting hit by withdrawals. And when their investment package is essentially real estate, so they get hit by people wanting their money out. So how do you suddenly go selling them, you know, $100 million property? I mean, it just is. So the point is that their investors are withdrawing, and it's sort of like a run, and they don't have the money to cover it. So then they got to sell something to cover it. It's going to be a slow process on where the investments have been in real estate.
Headline, Yellen not willing to allow contagious bank runs. How effective is she, Bob?
That's one of the bold statements where they didn't predict the hit, and then they say, oh, we can contain it. So the word is, it's not contagious, or we can contain it. That's what they usually say. And the problem is that in a financial bubble, lending agencies around the world get into the glue, and then liquidity disappears, and it goes the other way, and there's nothing that central bankers anywhere in the world can do about it. Absolutely nothing.
Could Yellen forbid people from withdrawing over a certain amount of money from any account? And what would that do to U.S. business?
Yeah.
And what would that do to U.S. business?
They got that already. You can't transport. Oh. Individuals can't transport anything more than 10,000 or something like that.
Well, that's so, cash
no,
across the border.
They got all kinds of things on, and it won't work. It's a line I've used is when this thing lets loose, all these safety guards and nets and central bankers will be about as useless as a hard hat in a crowbar storm.
Well, the next headline we're going to look at, Blackstone REIT limits redemptions again. In other words, they've put their own gateway or...
Oh, yeah, they're trying to slow it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your money is stuck. I don't think people like that, do they?
No, not when they want it.
U.S. manufacturing nears three-year low. Price pressures abate.
Yeah. When they mentioned price pressures there, that was when price pressures were rising. And then now it's going to be followed, maybe in the fall, by pricing pressures going the other way, where prices decline at the commodity level. And then you got wholesale prices or producer prices. Then you have retail prices, and they go down in a post-bubble contraction. And what does that mean? Well, poor pricing power for most business cramps their profitability. And then, so you say, okay, well, that's fine. But with that, you get tax revenues for municipalities, states and provinces, the federal systems reduce as well. So, and then, of course, with the wholesale, with the grocery prices coming down eventually, the problem there is that with high unemployment, people don't have the money to take too much money to take advantage of the lower prices. It's all post-bubble contractions are, I guess we can say, Jim, they're always ironical and frustrating. And so on the inflationary boom, you have the problem where there are shortages, but people don't have enough money to buy. And then in the bust, the line is sort of along the lines of there's hardship in the midst of plenty because there's plenty of stuff around suddenly, but people don't have the ability to buy them. So it's always fascinating to watch.
Headline, U.S. economy grinds to a halt as loan demand, sales crater in aftermath of bank crisis.
Yep, that pretty well says it.
And we also have another headline, small businesses file for bankruptcy at record pace surpassing COVID.
Well, Oh, yeah. COVID was such a shock where governments went out to shut small businesses down and keep big business, big box stores open. And that was nasty. And now this headline says, hey, they're shutting down even worse now. So you'd think that that might have, the COVID crash might have cleaned a whole lot out, but nope, there's more problems continuing.
Well, there was government aid for business during COVID, and that's all stopped. So now the real economic impact's happening.
Yeah. Well, the money kind of went to the biggies and to individuals and all a little late. So anyways, it's a recession is, in many ways, will be a tragedy. And we like to point out, Jim, that the yield curve, which is the difference between short rates and long rates, and on our work on charts back to 1860, there are rules. And one rule is that if the curve inverts, there will be a recession. Yes, we've had inversion. The other is if the action into the inversion is dynamic, the severity of the recession would be, well, the more dynamic the inversion, the more serious the recession. And then the other one is that once the curve reverses from inversion to heading the other way, then that is signaling that that conditions are about to get difficult. And we have that indeed. So the yield curve is saying the game is over. And then the other one that's important for the stock market is the credit spreads, which is, of course, the difference between high-grade and low-grade credits. And it's been benign since October, but since early March, the credit spreads have been going the other way. Nothing too dramatic yet, but probably after mid-year, we could get some drama in that sector. So stock markets and financial markets are not healthy. And as we've been saying since January 2022, build liquidity in your own account. Sell the rallies, build liquidity. And that's the best thing to do.
And our final headline today, global bankruptcy already baked in. Everybody's going bankrupt?
Yep. Yes, indeed. I liked it. A nice short headline.
Right. Can you tell us, like, when they say global bankruptcy already baked in, does that mean every government folds in its account?
No, it's a worldwide credit market.
Yeah.
So it's governments, all levels of government, federal, state, municipal, plus corporations, plus industry, plus real estate, plus people. It's a post-bubble contraction.
Bob, anything else you'd like to add about what's going on in the markets on right now?
No, I'm going to take a little break, Jim. I'm going to pour myself a Coca-Cola. How about that?
How about that? Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yep, look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy, the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.